Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Howie Lim. I'm a PhD candidate from the Department of Epidemiology at the Graduate School of Public Health of the University of Pittsburgh. What I'm going to present you today is slightly different from the one that you can see on the my abstract. Instead of looking at general sexual activity among men who have sex, older men who have sex with men, my research has now changed to risky sex behavior among older MSM. Therefore, the title of my presentation today is Differing Trajectories of HIV Sexual Risk Behavior Among Older MSM. And I'll first like to acknowledge the co-authors, Dr. Michael Marshall Ronstall and Dr. Anthony Silvestri. 2 weeks ago, I attended a conference on LGBT aging organized by the Senior Action in the Gay Environment in New York. And I first came to learn about this first prevention campaign in the country that targets older MSM. And this is the campaign advertisement. And this is a campaign developed by the Gay Men's Health Crisis. And it says, lots of things come with age. HIV does not have to be one of them. If you are over 50, you are still sexy and still smart. So the message is that you can still make good choice and stay negative, even if you are older. Okay. So since the emergence of HIV AIDS epidemic, men who have sex with men experience disproportionate burden of HIV disease. We know that. And from the latest data from the CDC, 25% of Americans living with HIV are 50 and over. And 10% of newly infected cases were adults older than 50. So all in all, we know there's good amount of evidence that older MSM are at risk for HIV. But there is really very little data or literature that study the HIV risk behavior in this older population. Why is that so? There are many reasons to account for that. Stigma due to homosexuality, and also there's a negative view about sexuality in older adults in general. Okay, and because of the advent of the heart therapy, HIV positive men are living longer and aging, and also some HIV negative men are aging. So older gay and bisexual men are at risk for acquiring and transmitting the HIV virus. As early as in the 80s, researchers found that some MSM older than 50 in San Francisco could be classified as high risk. They were engaging in unprotected anal sex. And by using data from the Urban Men's Health Study, Docini and colleagues found that the HIV prevalence in older MSM in these four urban cities is high. 19% of the men in their 50s are HIV positive. And from a qualitative study from Toronto, Canada, depression of older gay men. Depression, worthlessness, marginalization, and need for intimacies seem to be related to abandoning safe sex practice. And from a more recent study done by Cooperman and colleague, and it's very clear that HIV positive, HIV and negative men are sexually active and they participate in risky sex behavior. In this study, daily alcohol use, stimulant drug use, Viagra use were associated with risky sex behavior. So what comes with age? When I first started doing my dissertation, this is the research question that haunts me a lot. So because I want to know what is the aging experience of older gay and bisexual men. Are the stereotypes of older gay men being sad, isolated, depressed, true? One of the seminal work on gay men aging came from Dr. Doug Kimo. He observed that there's a tremendous variability in how gay men age. And the only way to study this variability or model this variability is by using a longitudinal method. And there is also a body of literature that study the age-related differences of risky sex behavior. So it compare the risky sex behavior among younger and older MSM. But these differences can may be related to cohort effects. If you compare younger and older MSMs, it's almost like comparing orange apples, because they live in a different environment, and older MSM has survived its epidemic, so they are very different. So, and as I said, longitudinal method is the best way to study change of risky sex behavior over time. The ultimate goal of my study is to inform safer sex prevention among this population. And I hope that this study will add to the life course perspective on sexual orientation at middle and later life. And now I'm going to describe a specific kind of longitudinal method that has become very popular, especially in developmental psychology. A trajectory, which is in the title of my slide, is defined as the evolution of an outcome over age or time by Nagan. Okay. Dr. Daniel Nagan first formalized the method group-based modeling in 1999. It is a semi-parametric, a special case of finite mixture modeling. Instead of looking at the mean trajectories of overall mean trajectories of a population over time, these methods are designed to identify clusters of individuals that follow similar progression of behavioral outcomes over time. And it assumes that developmental trajectories are composed of distinct groups rather than following continuous normal distribution like the traditional growth curve modeling. And each trajectory group may reflect distinctive ideologies. More than 60 articles have been published using group-based modeling. And that was the data from 2004, so I suspect there are even more now. And one can use the procedure in SAS, ProTrash, to do this analysis, and ProTrash can be downloaded for free from Nagan's website. Okay, let me talk about the study population. The data is a secondary data analysis from the Pittman study. Pittman study is one of the four centers of the multi-center ACE cohort study, and the other sites includes these three cities. It is an ongoing cohort study of HIV infection among MSMs funded by NIH. And I just want to make bring the point that since we have collected the data from 1984, this study is very rich in longitudinal data. And Akasi computer-assisted self-interview questionnaire was used to elicit sensitive questions such as sexual behavior and history of drug use. There are two aims of my study. The first is to describe the trajectory of risky sex behavior defined as number of unprotected anal intercourse partner from middle to later life in MSM. Second, to investigate characteristics that can may distinguish differing trajectory groups. And here is the method. And I include data that from visit 26 to 46, which is from October 1st, 1996 to March 31st, 2007. So it is 10 years of data and 20 visits. To be in my study, the participant has to be age 50 and above at the last visit. And they have to be in the study at least twice during this visit, because you need at least two data points to do a trajectory. And the independent variables is age, because I'm interested in looking at the aging effect. And the dependent variable is number of unprotected anal intercourse partners in the past 6 months. And data was restructured to begin from age 43 to 64. I did not include the higher age group because they are too small. And the final analytics sample is 261 subjects with 2,736 observations. So this is how the trajectories look like. Group-based modeling identified four groups. The first group is the no number of there's zero number of anal sex partners consistently across age, and this group makes up 44.5% of my sample. And the second group, group two, is the increasing from zero UAI partners to more than one, and this is curvilinear. The cubic function is significant. And the third group is the decreasing group from about 1.5 UAI partners to no UAI partners. And the fourth group, which the smallest group, is started at age 43, having one UAI partners, but increased to two UAI partners at age 50, and continue the increase to more than three partners at 64. And I have to say that I truncate the NUAI data to the maximum three, because NUAI more than three are too low in the data, so I truncate to three. And according to the Nagin's methods, there are several ways that you can evaluate the model. Two of them are based on the average posterior probabilities and us correct classification. So each individual was assigned to posterior probabilities. And if the average of this posterior probability in that group is close to one, then the group fits better. So you can see that these are pretty good average posterior probabilities. And Nagin's talk about how you can calculate OCC from a formula. And if OCC greater than five, then model fits. So I would think that this is a pretty good model. And also I did double check the assignment, the group assignment with the existing data. I sliced the data to three age group, 43 to 49, 50 to 57, and 58 to 64.5, and find the median number of UAI partners. Okay, so group one, so zero partners across the three age group, which seems to be consistent with this finding, right? And group two started with one, but have zero UAI partners in later age, which seems to be this one. And three started with no UAI partners, but having one UAI partners at later age, seems to be this. And group four, the high risk group, started with two and increased to three. It's actually three or more in the later age. And also I did a similar analysis by looking at median number of male sex partners. And the group four has 40 male sex partners at the later age. And I have to say that male sex partners includes oral sex partners too. Okay, so what are the demographic characteristics for the groups I found? So as I said, group one is the majority group, and group four is the minority group. And looking at the race, group four they are all white, and group one has more ethnic minority, race minority. And there seems to be no differences in the education. And there's a pattern here, the HIV positive. There's more HIV positive in group four, and which is very worrisome, because if they are HIV positive but they are still practicing UAI, risky sex behavior, they can transmit the virus. And also if you look at any marijuana use, this is defined as if they use any marijuana in any visit. 60% of group four use more marijuana. And it seems to be a linear trend of proper use too. 71% in this group reported any proper use, and meth use too. It's increasing for group four, and Viagra reuse at the last visit. 41% of group four reported Viagra use, and depression group three and group four seems to be more depressed, the reported depressive symptoms than group 1 and group 2. Yep, okay. So conclusion, it confirms a few studies that older MSM are engaging in risky sex behavior. I don't want you to go back and think about to think that these groups are rigid, but but the message here is that there's a variabilities in their developmental trajectories, if you will, the risky sex behavior, because there are groups that stays flat all the time, the decreasing group and increasing group, and high number of UAI trajectory group appears to have differential risk factors such as drug use. But we know that majority of men are not practicing risky sex behavior, and this might be the resilience that we can study. And further analysis would be to investigate predictors for differing trajectories. So this is a secondary data analysis building on existing core study. There are pros and cons about it. I don't have to wait for 10 more years to get my PhD. But the disadvantages is that I'm limited with the variables that I have. So there are some variables that are not collected in the beginning of the study, such as Viagra use or sero status of the partners. And because it will be interesting to look at sero sorting and sero discordant partners, where the NUAI is really, if there's a pattern about that. And I want to say that longitudinal method has a lot of potential, and there are very few participants in the older age group that limits my ability to estimate the trajectories in this older age group. And group-based modeling has been criticized, although it's popular, and the experts say that it has to be theory-based, but there's really no theory in how gay men change age. This is a exploratory data analysis, and we have to be cautious. So the key message is that older men are going strong, and as they are going strong in their sexual life, we have to think about how we can target our safer sex message to this population. And I would like to acknowledge my mentors, Nina Markovic, Kevin Kim, and all Pittman study staff and participants, and funding to the APHA presentation. And there's no relationships to disclose. Thank you.